Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team and remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined by Justin Southwell. Wow, I was just so excited to say Eve's back that I just stumbled on Justin's name. But guys, Eve Vitova's back.
We back, baby.
I don't know where he was, what he was doing. And
I'll tell you, busy couple weeks, right? Been launching a company, been building a company. By the way, if you're out there listening, go to vestible.co, V-E-S-T-I-B-L-E.co to see what we're all about. But past couple weeks, you know, some family stuff. I traveled over to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, which was really cool. We were hosting a couple different events over there. Always a good time being around the NFL family. I was a little disheartened, though. I ain't gonna lie, because last year, whenever I went to the NFL Combine, I landed at the airport, went over to the baggage claim area. I never check in my bags, but this time I did. But I'm glad that I did, because whenever I got there, I ran into Jason Taylor II. Y'all know Jason Taylor II, OK State extraordinaire, touchdown machine. Ran into him over there. Guy was trying to get some autographs from him, stopped him from getting autographs because he couldn't play the bad guy, but I could. So I was acting like his security guard, you know, exchanged numbers and got a photo with him. Really cool experience. But this time around, no OK State guys at the NFL Combine. So I'm over here just walking around like, dang, there's a lack of orange and black in Indianapolis this week. But besides that, incredible experience. And then here this week, next week I'm in Chicago, week after that I'm in Miami. So.
Well, it might be a good thing because we have all those guys coming back next year.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be great if every single year we could put out some guys to the league?
The combine is going to be stacked with Oklahoma State players next year. So they couldn't, you know, they had to take a year off from Oklahoma State because there's going to be so many Cowboys at the combine and in the draft next year. They just couldn't overdo it in back-to-back years.
Yeah, it's going to be dope to see in 2025. I was at St. Elmo's restaurant, which is, that's like the restaurant where all the backdoor deals happen in the NFL. And, you know, every single one of these trips that we go on is just so, and I'm not complaining whatsoever, but it is just fast paced. As soon as we land, we're going, we're meeting with people, we're setting up coffee appointments. We got dinner reservations at St. Elmo's. I think we had 5 dinner reservations just in case we had to move ones. And I think we ended up using 3 of them. So it worked out, but I'm sitting there waiting for my name to be called for our table. I look out the window and there's Caleb Williams just walking down the street by himself. And he's still wearing all of his combine outfit, right? Just says QB14, just by himself. And you know, I had to go outside. I literally go outside and I'm like, yo, what's up, man? Eve Vitova. Yeah, I played at Oklahoma State. Man, I'm so glad that we ran you up out of the Big 12 conference, bro, after we beat you in Bedlam. Let that go. So he got a good laugh out of that. And then I went and then got my table. So it was cool. That's, I just had to let y'all know that I had to get that shot out there. Right? Y'all would be proud of me.
Absolutely.
It's only right.
Oh, man. But no, Eve, you said it's like nonstop, but I would always get so annoyed when I used to travel literally every week for work. I would get so annoyed when people would be like, you're on vacation all the time. You're always somewhere. I'm like, I'm not, I'm not on vacation at all. I'm working 16-hour days. One time I flew from Connecticut to Arizona and back in a day. So when people are like, "Oh, you're always traveling," no, I'm not. I mean, I am now because I don't travel as much, nearly as much for work. I barely travel for work at all. But like back in the day when I was traveling every week for College Game Day, it's not vacation; it is work. And if I post something on Instagram, it's the hour between when my work ended and I had time to kill before going to the airport, and I do the most touristy thing possible.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like my company, we have, I think at this point we have 11 employees, right? And we have a marketing team, and our marketing team, the last time we took a trip, we went to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. And they said, "Guys, you have to remember to take a photo together because you guys never take any, like y'all don't capture content whenever you're on these trips." And it always slips our minds, right? Because we're just meeting with so many people. So we actually hired somebody in Indianapolis to just capture a bunch of content of us and for us while we were there. And I think that's the only way to get it done. Otherwise you just forget to do everything because, you know, your eyes are on the prize. You're there to do a job and you get out. Still a good time, though.
Well, Eve, we're glad to have you back for this week at least. Who knows? You're going to be in and out while you're building your empire, and it's okay.
Straight up disclaimer, I'm not going to be here next week, so got to let the audience know.
Sorry, guys, you're stuck with me and Justin again, you know. Maybe we'll bring on some guests. We'll try and get some guests on. We have some requests out to some people, but if not, it'll be the Justin and Meg show, so... It's great.
Hey, nothing wrong with. Hey, I've been listening to all the episodes. I appreciate y'all giving me a shout out on the box jumps.
Right? Those are done, Eve. No more shout outs.
No more shout outs. I'm still holding on to that, guys. Hey, whenever you get to your 30s, you hold on to any type of athletic compliments that you can get. So I stay with my massage gun next to me at all times to make sure that I'm still, active out here.
Those things hurt, man. Those things hurt. But shall we talk a little bit of Oklahoma State football? Guys, a few weeks ago, I talked about the lack of respect that Oklahoma State has gotten for years. But are we maybe getting respect now? I'm going to pretend that ESPN heard my rant from a few weeks ago about the disrespect to Oklahoma State, because, of course, the 4-team playoff is over and ESPN needs to rank everything. So they're like, let's rank the teams that were in the college football playoff rankings over the last 10 seasons, and Oklahoma State got a B+. We are number 14 team over the last decade. The article author David Hale says, OK State is like Weezer, nobody's favorite band, but their discography is chock full of bangers.
Hey, I don't know much about Weezer. I don't know if I can name a single Weezer song, but I like to liken it to the Black Eyed Peas. You know, you don't hear anybody say, "Hey, the Black Eyed Peas is my favorite group, my favorite band." But there's a bunch of bangers, and you know, every time you look up, they're on the billboards somehow, some way, right? People are out there listening to the Black Eyed Peas. So, OK State is just always making noise. And for the Black Eyed Peas, then Mike Gundy is Will.i.am, right? And he's out there and he's letting people know, "Where is the love?" He's singing it out loud, right? So, it's good to see us getting the B+. And honestly, I would say that seems appropriate. That's probably where we should rank.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it's appropriate because you can't deny statistics. Like, you're looking back to see what we've actually done over the last decade. Or what is it? Yeah, over the last decade.
2014.
It's like, yeah, looking back, nobody gave us the recognition. But then whenever you look at what we've actually accomplished, you know, numbers don't lie. So... of course we're going to be up there. It makes sense. There's no bias against it. There's no opinions against it. You just have to take it for what it is. And finally, yeah, somebody's recognizing that, we're actually pretty good.
Yeah. So if you're looking at our best hit over the past decade, you probably have to point to 2021, right? 2021 being the best season that we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2021, going out there, beating Notre Dame at the Fiesta Bowl. Second best season. I mean, there was a stretch there. We went 10-3 3 years in a row, 15, 16, and 17. So that was interesting. I think 2017 winning the Camping World Bowl was a pretty fun one. But, I mean, yeah, it's pretty undeniable. There was never a season in there where we had less than 7 wins. I don't think a lot of universities could say that.
Not many.
So I was like, I read that article yesterday when I was compiling our notes, guys, and I was very excited. I was like, oh my God, guys, we're getting respected. We're getting respected. This is exciting. And then I just saw on SI.com on the Oklahoma State All Pokes Fan Nation page that FD Sportsbook released their Big 12 football conference title odds for 2024. And OSU is tied with TCU at plus 1600 odds for the eighth best odds to win the conference.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready for the teams ahead of us? I'm gonna read off the teams that rank ahead of us.
Let's hear it.
Buckle up, kids. Utah, K-State, Kansas, Arizona, Texas Tech, our favorite UCF. Iowa State.
You see friggin' F.
Give me a then pick.
Iowa State. Wait, who has the best odds? Iowa State?
Utah.
That was the order.
So Utah, Iowa State's at plus 1200.
What's the line set at, I guess, for Utah? Well, not the line, but the
what's Utah the number? 340.
Plus 340 for them? Plus 340. Man, that is extremely favorable.
Yeah,
for a team that just lost their quarterback.
Did they?
I'm pretty sure that they lost their QB, didn't they?
Cam Rising?
I might be tripping. I don't know.
I think Cam Rising's coming back.
Yeah, Cam Rising's coming back. He's just been – wasn't he injured last year? So
I think he was hurt last year, and yeah, he's back.
You. Another year of eligibility.
Yeah, he's returned.
Utah's physical. You know, they've won the Pac-12 in the last, you know, three out of the last four seasons or something like that. So mm-hmm. – It makes sense for them to be up there, but I don't know how often a team is going to be favored to win another conference whenever they're coming in. And let's just take it for what it is. Utah, I mean, they're a good team. Kansas State up there, even though they lost their quarterback. So Will Howard went to Ohio State, but they have another guy coming in who's pretty good, dual threat guy. Arizona lost their coach. And then I'm not sure on their returning production necessarily, but the one that gets me is like Kansas, Iowa State. I mean, just the body of work that they've done over the last however long. And then you compare that to what OSU has done over that same time frame, and they're getting more respect than OSU, even though OSU has 11 offensive guys coming back, 10 defensive starters returning, and we just won 10 games last year and played in the Big 12 championship game. Why would this team not be favored to return to that spot? I don't understand.
Makes zero sense
what these guys are thinking. And the only, I mean, yes, if that game against Texas in the Big 12 championship game was a little bit more competitive, then you'd probably get more respect right now. Maybe that plays to our advantage next year to be able to be an underdog again and fly under the radar and all the stuff that we did last year. But at the same time, teams know we've got the best running back in the nation and they're going to be locked in trying to stop him. So with that, your receiving core has to step up. Alan Bowman has to step up. The defense has to be able to play lights out to give us these wins because – while we did win 10 games last year, some of the losses that we had were terrible. And that could happen at any week. South Alabama makes no sense.
Right.
Iowa State should not have lost that game. UCF just coming off of a big Bedlam win and you just played in a monsoon and fell on your face. Stuff like that can't happen next year. So we'll just see. We'll just see where it goes. But I look at this, I'm thinking – Kansas is not better than Oklahoma State. Iowa State is not better than Oklahoma State. Arizona is not better than Oklahoma State. And you can debate on Utah, Kansas State, and we'll get to play them in back-to-back weeks. So we'll see how it goes. But
I think that some of these sports books and some of these odds makers just don't know what to do with Oklahoma State. And I think that's been the case really Gundy's entire tenure. I was reading something, it must have been 2 years ago, that was breaking down like the hardest teams to bet on or the best records against the spread. in college football, and they broke it down over the past like 15 years, and Oklahoma State was number one, just like the hardest teams to predict for. And they just don't know what to do with us. They have no idea what to do with us. But I tell you what, you look at plus 1600, they're picking us to finish eighth. That seems like some pretty dang good value right there if you were somebody that was betting on that. But man, I would take the over on the wins. I would take the over on where the heck we're projected to finish this season, because that just it seems outlandish.
I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago, a month ago, guys, about like why everybody is loving on Arizona. And Justin, you mentioned their roster. I think that based on this article on CBS, which I'm going to get to this in a second, but they maintained a lot of their key players, and they're getting their quarterback and their top receiver back this season. My biggest thing though is like, I don't understand why Arizona, and don't Arizona had a phenomenal season, beat OU, Wildcats, love you for that in the bowl game. I have no issues with Arizona. I don't understand why Arizona, who's also returning a lot of players, is getting more respect with right. His brand new coach who was below 500 in his career at San Jose State University. Oh, they're getting more respect than a team with Mike Gundy, who has been here for almost two decades, and you're getting 21 starters back, including the Doak Walker winner, including Brennan Presley. You're getting back Nick Martin, Colin Oliver. You're getting Kendall Daniels back. Like, you're getting all of these key people back, and they're questioning the talent on our roster and if we're going to be good enough, and if Ollie's going to have a Chuba Hubbard 2020 where the production drops off, which I think is an unfair thing to really compare it to, because 2020 was weird. It was weird. So
yeah, weird year. Chuba was hurt. Yeah.
You can talk about yards per carry, and that's the most accurate stat, I would say, because it's the average. But like 2020 to me is like a wash in statistics. It's not, sure. It's not fair. But I mean, I've heard really good things about AJ Green, our transfer back from Arkansas. So it's like, I don't understand why Arizona, who has a brand new coach from the power or the group of five ranks, is getting more respect than Oklahoma State, who's had the same coach for two decades, the Doak Walker winner, all Big 12 players, the leading tackler in the Big 12 coming back in Nick Martin. I do not understand.
Yeah, couldn't say it any better. I mean, we're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. Not to mention, Arizona is also losing their best offensive player in Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle. He's going to the NFL draft this year. So you look at us, you look at them, we're bringing back all of our best weapons, right? So, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
And I want to be clear. I'm not saying Arizona is going to be a bad team. I'm just saying I don't understand why they're just granted.
Yeah, when you stack the two up against one another, you should be able to say, I'm going to doubt this team, not this one. The one that lost their head coach, brought one that is a career under 500, lost their best offensive weapon. That's probably the one that I'm going to doubt over the one that's bringing everybody back.
Also, Arizona has a very hard schedule. We went through it a few weeks ago. They have a hard schedule. Like, I don't – like, Oklahoma State, we have that tough stretch with – who is it? Utah, K-State, West Virginia. Yeah. Like, that's – we don't have a cakewalk schedule either. I'm not saying that. And it has nothing to do with the lack of talent or whatever Arizona. But, like, when you look at the factors
– right.
And you have all of these guys who want to be here, like, I don't understand, which leads me to my next point, guys, and a bone to pick with CBS sports writer Dennis Dodd. He did a way too early college football top 25 ranking, and OSU falls at 24th for this season. Ahead of them, Utah, Arizona, K-State, and Kansas. So that was my point with Sounds Arizona. About right. I don't – why are we – we finished last season, what, 15? Like – why are we 24 when you're having 21 starters combined on offense and defense coming back?
You know what? I think Dennis Dodd has us a little too high. We should be even lower. I don't know why we're in his top 25. Like, just take us, yeah, leave us completely out of it. And then by the end of week three, we're going to be in the freaking top 10 and just make everybody look silly that kept us out of this. So, hey, take it for what it is, man. I think the Oklahoma State Cowboys are always going to be overlooked. That's just something that we're always going to have to overcome. So,
it's interesting. Like, in today's game, it feels like most people are talking about the narrative of the transfer portal, NIL, you know, people are jumping in, they're leaving, they don't want to stay. You know, what happened to the old college football that I love and continuity and all this stuff? And then now we have this team at Oklahoma State that's got that continuity, got the head coach, got everybody returning, and it's just being overlooked. I mean, what are we doing? It's right there, guys. It's right there. And Arizona, for example, yeah, they had a great season last year. Games, I'm looking at what they had the last few seasons before that, 5-7, 1-11, 0-5 in 2020, 4-8, 5-7. And you're going to put them over Oklahoma State, who's have so much more consistency, proving themselves year after year, in a tougher conference. I don't know. What are we doing?
You have to remember, Jed Fish's first year was 2021 too. So to me, a lot like the last.
No, his first year was 2021. Went 1-11. Yeah.
Right, but like to me, the changes were Jed Fish. Like Coach Fish right. is what turned that program from 1-11 to the bowl winning team that they were last. Sure.
Yeah.
And he's not there anymore.
All the credit in the world to him. And he's gone. Yeah.
Exactly. He's not there. Like he is not right. there. And maybe this, I mean, I don't know much about their new coach, Brennan. I don't. I know the record at San right. Jose State and it was below 500, but I mean, maybe they saw something in him. They're paying him enough money. So I'm not going to sit here and say he's a good or bad coach, but like, he's not Jed Fish is the point.
Yeah. If there's a team that you can make a case for, I think probably KU. I think KU,
yes.
you know, great head coach, well, really good head coach, bringing back their starting quarterback. A lot of their talent is coming back as well. And even then, I'm like, we still stack up against KU better than most people. So that's just the life of a Cowboy right there. Get used to being overlooked and having to crawl out that ditch.
The one thing when I was reading this article about the odds and everything, that there is a, although very unlikely, it is possible for a team in the Big 12 to go 12-0 and still miss the conference championship game due to tiebreakers and everything, like we kind of saw this year with us and how it all plays out. Because when you get into that, if there are three 12-0 teams, which could happen because not everybody plays each other, it's highly unlikely. It is highly unlikely, but it could get very, I think that that's also part of the argument for the odds against Oklahoma State is that you need to have a nearly perfect schedule and also the tie-breaking scenarios. And I don't know what they all are. And it's obviously going to depend on who's in what position and what everyone's records are, but it's not as cut and dry as you have, 11 or 12 wins and you're in the conference championship because you don't play everybody in the conference.
All I know is I would love to be in that situation.
Yeah, that would be wild. Yeah.
Put us in that conversation. Yeah. We're 12-0 and we're knocking on there. As long as our starting quarterback doesn't get hurt like Florida State, I think we have a good shot.
And as long as we're not the team that's left out. What the heck? That'd be crazy. I'd be so mad.
Yo, you know that happened to me in high school? There was a three-way tie in my, what do they call it in high school? Division?
Conference?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, they have
league.
What region? Is it called?
League?
Yeah, I guess in my region. I don't even know what it's called. My district. That's what it was.
District champs.
Three-way tie in my district. And they decided before the season started that to decide who the odd man out was going to be, it was going to come down to a coin flip. We were the odd team out. Season ended. And it was the biggest emotional roller coaster. Keller High School versus Fossil Ridge High School. We go out there. I mean, these are our crosstown rivals, all right? Like two schools couldn't be any more opposite. We beat them for the first time in like 7 years. I mean, we are on an emotional high. Everybody's spirits are up. We go into the locker room. Shoot, the cheerleaders came in and everybody's just feeling great. Head coach comes in, Kevin Atkinson, who just retired. Happy retirement, coach. He comes in the locker room. He goes, hey, we're going in that office. We're going to flip that coin and we're going to the playoffs, baby. Yeah. They go in. He comes back. It's not good, guys.
No.
Instantly, tears. High school football is over.
Damn.
Like, just like that. I mean, the saddest.
This is exactly why you would not flip a coin for $1 billion and you'll just take that guaranteed million, because this has happened to you. I understand it now. I understand it.
Friday Night Lights. That's what happens in Friday Night Lights.
I heard that's what happened there. I never watched it.
But you've never seen Friday Night Lights? Oh my God. Okay. Well, on your next. Did you
even play football in Texas?
Like, God. I didn't even play football in Texas, and I have seen Friday Night Lights. But no,
I'm the worst when it comes to movies, when it comes to shows. I'm the worst. Don't even ask me.
Well, Justin, next week we can debate the best sports movies. And Friday Night Lights, I think, is up there. Not the best, but
I know on that list. Yeah, we'll talk about it. A little cliffhanger here. Football needs a few more good movies. I'm a little bit disappointed in football movies. I'm just going to say
I'll leave it at that for this reason. There are a lot of recent stories that can really be turned into great motion pictures lately.
We've all. But Eve, one last thing. That happened to me in college. The coin toss happened to me in college. There were three teams tied for the number one seed in the conference tournament, and it came down to a coin toss, and my team won it. So we were in the number one seed.
Good for y'all. Can't relate.
We lost in the championship game to our rivals, which sucked, but at least we lost at home. So we didn't have a long 5-hour trip back to Boston from Maine.
I had the most awkward car ride ever, according to my little sister, because we lost. You know, I get dressed, I get back in the car, I gave my sister a ride home because, you know, she's at the game. So my sister and her friend are in the back seat. I'm driving them home, and I'm just crying the entire time. And they don't know what to say. They're just listening to me sob as I'm driving. I'm just sobbing at the front the entire car ride. It was like a 15-minute car ride. Just talk about heartbreak. Gotta love it. Gotta love sports.
Talking about Friday Night Lights, the movie. Well, Friday Night Lights is known for college or high school football, Friday Night Lights. But this year, it's looking like college football is going to be on Friday Night Lights more often. We talked about it over the summer after Big 12 Media Days. Commissioner Yormark, wow, Meg, words are hard. Commissioner Yormark wanted to bring more Friday night games to the Big 12. It's looking like that might be coming a reality. Fox is planning to broadcast a Friday night game every week. This slot would primarily feature games from Big 10, Big 12, and Mountain West. The broadcast schedule won't be negotiated until May, but there's plenty to look at. There's plenty of time to look at potential candidates for those matchups. Of course, we end our season in Colorado on Black Friday, but there's a potential, guys, that Utah game, pretty sexy, could get flexed in.
No.
You're not a fan, Justin?
I don't want two Friday night football games. Like, here's the thing, Friday night, it's not college football to me, and it never will be. I'm trying to make it happen. Like, it's not college football. It's reserved for high school. And then anybody else that loves football, if you're like me, you're set inside of time Saturday, all day Sunday to watch football. And as much as I love football, I don't need it on Friday night. Like, I got other things to do. I'm going to take my wife on a date. I'm going to hang out with the kids.
Right.
And I don't want that to be taken up with, just another game. Like, I am not going to be invested in that game unless it's Oklahoma State.
True.
Even if it's other like Big 12 teams. I'm interested in the conference matchup. It might be on in the background, but it's not getting my full attention.
Yeah, it probably ain't even going to be on in the background for me unless it's an Oklahoma State game, because that's it. I mean, I got other obligations to do, right? I mean, during the fall, football already takes up, what, Monday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and now Friday too. And I was just telling my wife literally 2 days ago, I just told my wife, babe, she's from California. I said, babe, you haven't even experienced Texas high school football yet. At some point this fall, we just need to go to some of these
big games.
Yeah, we got to go to some of these big matchups on a Friday night when they shut the entire town down and the whole neighborhood just revolves around, you know, whatever game is playing. We're pretty close to Allen High School. Maybe we'll hit up one of those games, but or Salina High School. But like that, you have to experience that. So, and at that point, I'm going to have a second kid, right? Second kid is on the way. I don't know what the heck my schedule is going to look like. So, if OK State is playing on a Friday, we're going to check it out. Otherwise, hey, I hope it makes a bunch of money for the Big 12 and we get to benefit from it.
I barely watch Thursday night football. Like, for NFL. I know that's NFL. I'll watch it if the Patriots are playing or if it's like a really, really good matchup. But those typically don't happen until the end of the season where there's playoff implications. But I'm like, I just like you. I mean, I spend all day Saturday, all day Sunday watching football. I have other things I want to watch, other shows I want to watch. So Love is Blind. Hell yes.
Great season. No, bad season. It was a trash season.
I mean,
it's only my second time ever watching a season of Love is Blind, and it was, I got a lot to say. Sorry. This is
a train wreck, but we won't bore you guys with our thoughts on Love is Blind. But yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to watch, like, if there's like a great, if it's like how you can flex into Sunday Night Football, the marquee matchup, if there is a great, like, top five matchup, if they put Michigan and Ohio State, they're not, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, if they were to be like, you know what, we're going to flex into this, I'm like, you know what, I might tune into that. But am I going to tune into a late season matchup between a couple of like 3 and 6 teams? No.
Absolutely not.
No, I don't watch it on Saturday. Why would I watch it on Friday?
Right. Absolutely not.
And the only other time where it makes sense is arguably Black Friday, because you have Thanksgiving break, you know? Yeah. So. Yeah. We're all hanging out with the family. Let's put the game on.
Yeah.
But
everybody's already kind of in the mode for football anyway. Everybody's hanging out in their hometown's local bar. Put the game on TV. That one makes sense. Yeah.
So we'll see, guys. But it looks like it's happening this year. I mean, again, it's going to be a mix of, because of how the TV contracts are negotiated. Fox has primarily Mountain West, Big 10, Big 12 games. So it's going to be, I mean, there's what? 12, 13, 14 Fridays for three different conferences.
See, this is one of the things I think there's maybe a theory behind this. We love football so much because we only get it for a certain, like, 3 months out of the year, 3-4 months out of the year. And the rest of the time we're just like, man, it'd be nice to have some football on right now. But really, that's not even always the case, because as much as I miss football, I don't necessarily know that I'm going to be turning into XFL or AFL, whatever other league they got going on, right?
Absolutely not.
So whenever you have football here for you on Saturdays and Sundays, you know, that's enough. And you don't necessarily need to have it on Mondays and Fridays and Thursdays. It's like, we've got what we need because we're sitting all day watching it Saturday and Sunday, and we're good until the next week. And then eventually that ends and you miss it again. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday, it's like,
well, you know what it is, man. It just seems like, and you know, this word is so overused, but there's a lot of greed, right? Greedy corporations, greedy television networks. Football, NFL, and college are basically what's keeping TV alive right now. You look at the top 100 most watched programs on TV. I think 92 of them were football last year, and you talk about cable TV, broadcast TV, and streaming. Football is literally the thing that is carrying all of it. So it's pretty wild whenever you think about it. That's why Netflix is slowly but surely making a play for live TV, right? They got the Tyson and Jake Paul fight that's going to happen. They did the thing with, you know, with Formula One. You know, they did something else. I can't remember what other, I think it was some type of live golf thing. I can't remember what it was. But, you know, they're inching towards trying to possibly get a live NFL game on their platform. But everybody's just trying to get football on their platforms as many days of the week as possible. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be conducive for the athletes and the coaches, but that's definitely the play right now. And it's really interesting to observe.
I will say it is impressive, particularly the NFL, that they have managed to stay relevant, for lack of a better word, year round. You know, it was only probably within the last 5 to 10 years where they've been able to have something every month of the year. You know, Super Bowls in February, and then
free agency in March.
Free agency in the combine. April's the draft. May is OTAs. You know, June is whatever. July starts mini camp. You know, it's very impressive. And I, you know, even with college football too, because college football ends in January, but then late February, early March, it's like, well, it's the combine. Well, that's NFL, but people are tuning in to see what their college players are doing. and then the draft. Well, I as a college fan want to see where my Oklahoma State guys go. You know,
the draft might get 25 million viewers this year, which is ridiculous. Like,
it's crazy.
Like, that's going to be more than an NBA playoff game. And it used to be an unwritten rule in television that you just let the NBA have Christmas. Like the NBA was just, you know, that was Christmas Day. It was almost like the unofficial launch of the NBA season, even though it started before that. Right. And then I think it was 2 years ago, the NFL just said, nah, we're going to take that too. So now they just dominate Christmas too. So yeah, it's pretty crazy how prevalent football is in society right now.
Yeah. Guys, if you're missing football and need to get your fix and you're missing your Cowboys, go watch Resilience on OSU Max. It's a documentary on the 2023 season. I watched it. It was very good. I mean, you know how it ends. The beginning's hard to watch because it's like frustrating. Cause like, why did we have a quarterback rotation? What are we doing? Why did we lose to South Alabama? Why did we lose to Iowa State? But then, you know, it gets better. So that's a positive. Yeah. And they don't spend too much time on the UCF loss or the Texas loss, which was good. But what I found really interesting was like the turning point in the season was Gundy showed the team a like 3-minute video of them before games in the tunnel. And it showed how they were versus other teams that he's coached getting hype. And our team, there was a lack of hype in the tunnel. There was a lack of, you know, they're just kind of like sitting there nodding, like, okay, we're about to go out. There was a lack of energy before they took the field. And Gundy showed this 3-minute video. He said it could have gone on for like 15 minutes of all these different compilations of teams that he's coached and the different energy in the tunnel. And as soon as the team saw their lack of energy is what flipped the switch for them.
Wow. Yeah,
I mean, it was a good call, but it's like, you bring the energy when you're winning, and we just hadn't been winning for a long time. Like, all the way, like the last half of 2022, lost a lot of games and a lot of people left. And then we were like kind of in limbo. Are we going to be coming back? And then the season started slow. You know, we were beating Central Arkansas and Arizona State, but it was still kind of like, okay, like how good are we? You know, what's going on with this quarterback rotation? What's there to get hyped about? And then we lost a couple of games. Definitely shouldn't have lost. And it was like, what's there to get hyped about? So I'm glad that he did it when he did it and that we were able to get things going again. The thing that really stood out to me with that whole speech was how he was talking about the way that people communicate nowadays is you're on your phones, you're listening to your AirPods, you got music playing before them, and that's fine. You can get hyped like that, but at a certain point, we're shutting that off. We're coming together as a group, as a family, as brothers. And we're going to hype each other up so that we bring that energy. And honestly, that might be the difference in a lot of these programs out there, because you got other guys that just want to listen to their own music and then do their own thing and not come together as a team. But football is the ultimate team sport, and you have to have that chemistry to be able to go out and do that stuff.
Motivating people is a true art. It's a skill. I was listening to actually one of my executive coaches was on a podcast recently, and he had done work with Alabama football in the past. And I'm listening to him on this podcast, and he said one of the things that he realized whenever he was working with Nick Saban is they would go out there, they would beat a team by 50 points on a Saturday, and then they would go watch film the following day. And Nick Saban would just point at one person out, and he said, hey, when are you going to do the little things that you know that you can do right so that you can be the best player that you know that you can be? And the whole room would just get quiet. And you would think that they just lost by 50 points, but they just won by 50 points. And then, you know, that was it. Shut down the meeting, and then boom, next week they're going back at it. And they are bringing a certain intensity as if, you know, they suck, as if they're a trash team. So although I agree, Justin, whenever you said, yeah, the energy comes whenever you win, you want to have those individuals that's going to be a dog no matter what. So there's a guy that I know named Eric Rowe. I don't know if he's on the team right now. I think he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers last, but he always used to say, I think he played for the uh, for the Patriots at one point, Meg. So
that name sounds really familiar.
So he used to always say, BYOE, bring your own energy, no matter what, no matter how the season's going, no matter what, BYOE. And to your point, though, Sal, I mean, you're absolutely right. You gotta be able to feed off of one another. Yeah, technology is great. You can get your playlist going and all that. But at some point, hey, you got to feed off of one another, because whenever you're out there on that field, that's all you got is one another.
And the best part is whenever you're a fan of the guys that you're with, like Eve, nothing gets me more hype than to see you get an interception. You know, I'm running up and down celebrating with you because you just made a play. That's my guy. Let's roll. And yeah, if you don't have that connection with your guys because you're thinking about, what am I doing here in Stillwater whenever I could be, you know, playing some other university and making more money or whatever the case, whatever goes through your head in that whenever you're down and out, you know. But it's like, man, you have a chance to really do something great here. You know, it doesn't matter what role you're in. You could be the backup of the best running back in the nation. But whenever it's your turn,
numbers call,
turn it on. You get your chance to shine. And hey, I mean, take advantage of it.
Jaden Nixon, BYU, fourth down, you know?
100%. Like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Jaden Nixon has loved him so much. And like, what was kind of crazy was like watching Resilience. He got like a 60-yard pass in that Iowa State game and scored a touchdown. And I was like, why didn't we go back to that? Where was that the rest of the year? Who's calling these plays? Get him involved a little bit more. But yeah, Jaden Nixon, man, like, talk about a guy who just has that competitive fire where it's like, hey, you got beat out. You're the number two guy on the roster. But man, when it was his time to shine, he absolutely did it. And just got to applaud that.
Yeah. I think my biggest hope is that the team, the players on the team, will take the lesson, that lesson specifically, bring that to the beginning of the 2024 season. And on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, find something that continues to motivate you. I think it was the great Zig Ziglar who said, people often say motivation doesn't last. Neither does bathing. And that's why we recommend it daily. So you have to do it on a regular basis to keep yourself going.
That's good. And the other thing is like the difference between motivation and inspiration, right? If you're getting motivated to do something, you kind of don't want to do it. You begrudgingly might push through it. If you're inspired to do something, you do it on your own and you're bringing that energy.
BYOE.
My Peloton instructors are my inspiration. I think it's Robin Arizona, Jess Sims. I have my go-tos, one of them. And it's like, I don't have to, I get to. And when you flip that mentality, it's like, I don't have to go to the gym. I get the privilege of going to the gym because I am physically capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm. So, I get to do.
Yeah. Peloton instructors, man, they have life coaches as well.
Are y'all still doing the Remember the 10 run? Speaking of that,
I need to register still. There have been some things, but you know, Eve's dropping out.
Yeah, I wish I could make it if I could, but I'll be at a Big 12 Rivals spring game, actually. Actually, no, an SEC team spring game. I'm going to be in Austin, Texas.
Gross. Spring game. Whatever.
Yeah. No, we don't hate them anymore, right? They're going to the SEC.
Well, one last shout out on this podcast goes to Dayton Fix. He became the first 5-time Big 12 champ in wrestling this weekend. Guys, I want nothing more than Dayton Fix to walk out of Oklahoma State a national champion, either as an individual, on a team, ideally both, but like, I want nothing more than Dayton to win the national championship in a couple weeks. God, that made me so happy. Like, nice.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
Like,
wouldn't it be great to years from now just look at Dayton Fix dominating the UFC, you know, whatever he's doing, or competing for the Olympic gold in wrestling?
He could go compete for the Olympic gold this year. It's an Olympic year. He's trials are coming. It's quite possible Dayton could be in Paris this summer representing Team USA, which would just be awesome. So
let's go, Dayton. We're rooting for you.
And the men's wrestling team finished second in the Big 12 to Iowa State. Just can't always in the way.
Freaking Iowa State.
I'll say this though. Dayton Fix, safe to say that record will never be broken. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm barring another pandemic, I guess. So let's not talk about that. But yeah, it's pretty cool because some of the wrestling things that you think of as far as really cool, like records, I guess, like he gets to be a part of that now because
history.
He's made history. First guy ever. So yeah, that's awesome. I'm trying to think of like the one that I always want to go to John Smith because obviously he's the GOAT and the legend, and he won Olympic gold medals and world championships and everything else. But Cale Sanderson, who wrestled at Iowa State and is now the head coach at Penn State, which is why they're so good. He finished with a record of 159-0 in college, and he was, I think, the first one to ever go completely undefeated in college wrestling, and it's been done since then. And actually, it's been done by a guy that did it at four different weight classes.
Wow.
Kyle Dake. So that's, even more impressive.
Sheesh.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the elite level of wrestlers that are out there, now you can have Dayton Fix in that mix because of what he was able to accomplish this year.
Also, Dayton, two more notes on him. Well, 3A, his dog Champ is friends with Bixby, so that's exciting.
Love it.
Champ and Bix are buddies, so that's fun fact. Yes. But no, Dayton is 36-0, I believe, in Gallagher-Iba.
Wow.
Defeated in Gallagher-Iba. And when I was watching the Big 12 championship match this weekend, they said that Dayton has never lost to a Big 12 opponent.
Wow.
That's
crazy.
Nice.
Crazy. So definitely in a program as historic as Oklahoma State, Dayton Fix is certainly one of the greatest to ever wrestle in an orange singlet.
Wrestlers, can't mess with them. Ever tell y'all about it's probably for another episode, about the time that there was a big old fight, basically a brawl on the strip with a group of wrestlers?
No.
I'll tell you next week. Well, next time. South, were you there?
I was.
He's like,
I was a witness to this.
Yeah. I can tell it real quick. Like a 30-second story.
Yeah, I'll tag in. Go ahead.
Yo, so we're out there on the strip. There's this big wrestling, I don't even know, some big tournament that's happening across, I don't know if it was the state of Oklahoma or if it was a national tournament. I don't know what it was. But all these wrestlers from all over wherever were in Stillwater. So to get done with this wrestling tournament, we're out that night. We're out on, Washington Street. So you're down on Washington Street. Yo, Justin and I see this big dude who obviously did not play any sports, right? Like he didn't look like an athlete. But tall guy, big guy, picking on this guy who was probably like 5'10", 140 pounds, right? But you can see he had that, he had that cauliflower ear. And I just remember, I think it was Justin actually that said, I wouldn't be messing with that guy if I were him.
Right. I saw what was happening.
That's it.
This isn't going to turn out well for this guy if he keeps running his mouth.
So we walk into an establishment, spend a couple minutes there. We're like, let's go over to the next spot. We walk back out. Yo, it is chaos. You see people running. You see, I think like maybe the cops were
there running. There was like a truck that was like screeching around the corner and guys that were in the truck bed literally jumped out just to jump in on the brawl. Like they were ready to go.
This is like in the span of 5 minutes. So all this stuff is happening. But I walk by to the same spot where we saw those two people arguing. The small, skinny wrestler dude has the big dude on the ground. Big dude's just blood coming out. Like you just see blood on the sidewalk. And I'm like, hey, we told you. That's just what wrestlers do. Especially if you're going to pick a fight with a wrestler, don't get on the ground. You got to stay on your feet. But wrestlers.
He didn't have a choice. He just didn't have a choice in that matter. So
yeah, he gonna put you down there. Yeah. Good times, good stories.
With that, we want to thank you to listening. Thank you. Words are hard today. Words are hard. I'm not having dying of coughing fits, but words are hard for me today.
Because I'm back. You know, I think I just have you in a shock.
I'm just so flustered. I'm so excited you're here. But thanks for listening to this episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. And happy birthday to my dad. It's my dad's birthday today. So,
Mr. Robbs, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dad. Thank you all for listening. Like, share, subscribe, follow, rate, review, and of course, go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.